Oh, that's right. We're right here this afternoon. I'm Ann Eller, and yes, September is Recovery Month. And, we try to make sure that we're aware of all the struggles and what people go through in this world. And sometimes I think we don't actually talk enough about recovery and what it takes and the celebration that should be sought for those that have made those steps to move forward with their lives. And I noticed that Teresa Roy with Cornerstone wrote an op-ed in the paper today, and she said, September is recovery month, so we asked clients what recovery means to them, and they said freedom, family, community, and loving life. And for those that are suffering from trying to get into recovery, try to make a difference in their life and in their families, that is certainly something to celebrate. And today we're going to be talking to two counselors from Cornerstone. Helen Yontz, she's been working in the field of addiction treatment and mental health care for more than 20 years. And comes to us from Tennessee and Kentucky and even up there in Maine for a while. And now she calls South Carolina her home. How you doing today, Helen?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Absolutely. What does Recovery Month mean to you as you are looking at the people that you work with and everything? What do you see with Recovery Month?
Well, I think it's an opportunity for us to focus on the successes instead of focusing on the disease. I think a lot of times it's easy to focus on the problems that disease of addiction and alcoholism causes people, and also other mental health illnesses, other brain diseases. This is Recovery Month is about everybody in both who have both mental health issues and addiction issues, and the things that they've overcome and the things that they've achieved and the successes.
Sure, absolutely. And then, of course, so we have Helen Yontz here, and then we have Tim Still. He is from Greenwood. He got a BS in psychology from Lander. He is a clinical counselor at Cornerstone. And how are you doing today, Tim?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
Absolutely. So what part do you play in Cornerstone? What is your part? You're a counselor. What other things do you do?
Yeah, I'm a counselor. I work in our Abbeville office. So I generally meet with everybody that comes through the door in Abbeville most of the time. And I start off assessing them, doing an evaluation with them. And I do group counseling, individual counseling, case management, things like that.
For the person that walks through the doors, that's a huge step, isn't it?
It is, yes.
I'm sure there are those that come through the door and continue with the program, and then I'm sure there probably are some that come through the door and they don't come back.
Yeah, that's right. Some of them have more motivation than others. Some of them may be motivated by other things, like staying out of jail. Then you have those that come in on their own as well. And yeah, you do see some that don't see it all the way through, but the ones that do see it all the way through and make the changes necessary for recovery, those are the ones that you really enjoy working with.
Just out of curiosity, Tim, when somebody starts going through an addiction program to try to get into recovery and everything, it's not something that happens overnight.
No, it's not. It's a process. And excuse me. It can be a frustrating process to the client and their family as well. But there is hope out there, and there's a lot of support. There's community support groups in our area, and most of the churches in the community have things for people in recovery.
Yeah, and one of the things I was interested to see when I was on your website, that both Helen and Tim work at Cornerstone. One of the things that I was interested to see on your website is there's one actually for gambling addiction.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And we think about that, but when we think of addiction, we're always thinking of alcohol or maybe pills, drugs, but you don't actually think of gambling as an addiction, do you?
Well,
you may,
absolutely.
But most people don't think of it that way, I think.
Yeah, when they're buying their lottery tickets, that's probably not what they're thinking about, no.
Yeah, but I mean, a lottery ticket unto itself, not a big deal, right?
No. No. A ticket here, a ticket there, no, not a big deal.
I have the lottery people on with us, and they talk about the fun aspect of it, but when it gets to the point where it's no longer fun, then you've got a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. When it becomes more than just fun, and you know, you're taking bill
you
money.
You sound like the commercial. When it comes more than fun, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I think I've heard the commercial. Yeah. But yeah, when it's, you know, when it's taking bill money and you are spending a good portion of your money trying to chase back what you've lost, then it become quite a problem, and it can cause quite a problem for families.
Absolutely. So, I was interested to see that as a possibility of some issue that you might have that people don't actually think about. Now, we're going to be talking about the different issues, what Cornerstone brings to the table. But as far as Recovery Month, who started Recovery Month?
Well, it was actually SAMHSA, which... that works with agencies that are dealing with addiction and mental health issues.
Well, and it actually, when did it start? 1989 was called Treatment Works.
Yes.
Now that was an interesting one, wasn't it, as far as a name, Treatment Works. That could go for anything, couldn't it?
Yes, it could, definitely.
So, but anyways, then it became, in 2011, it became National Recovery Month. You know, there are so many different aspects. I mean, Cornerstone is one part of it. We have AA, we have Faith Home, like you were mentioning, we have the churches and everything here. And we actually, I don't know if y'all know this, but several years ago, we had actual AA meetings on the air right here on WCRS.
Wow.
Yeah, that was exciting to hear about that.
Yeah, I bet you got some interesting stories there.
We did get some interesting stories, and I'll bet you'll get a lot of interesting stories in your counseling and everything.
Absolutely. Oh, yes. Not a boring day.
Never a boring day. But Helen, what made you get, what did you want to do when you were growing up? What made you end up in this field?
Well, originally I wanted to be actually a veterinarian, and my dad kept talking to me. Said, you know, if you're going to do that, you might as well be a doctor. So it's like, okay, so I actually started out pre-med. I wanted to be a pediatrician and made a D on a quiz and decided I didn't want to do that anymore. So
is that your first D in the world?
Forever and in my whole life, yes. Kind of an overachiever when I was younger. So actually took Introduction to Social Work as an elective and fell in love and changed my degree to social work. So that's what I have my degree in. And from there, started out, well, with my internship, I worked for the Knoxville Union Rescue Mission. And my supervisor was a recovering alcoholic, mm-hmm. who was also a retired Greyhound bus driver. He was awesome.
Now that's a scary thing, a retired Greyhound bus driver that was a recovering alcoholic. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. And he had some stories, I'll tell you.
I'll bet he did.
Mm-hmm. But he was the first one to introduce me to Alcoholics Anonymous and the Big Book and the 12 Steps and all of that. So most of the people I worked with there had mental health issues, but they also had addiction issues or alcoholism. And that was my first real introduction to it.
What do you think about, Helen, since you've been in this for so long, what do you think about when you started and working at a rescue mission and finding out about AA and everything and where we are as far as treating addiction diseases today? Have we made progress?
I think we have made progress. You know, we're looking more and more at systems that work and looking at the client, looking at where they are when they walk in the door. How do we meet them and what they're ready and willing to do at that moment and then help them find the motivation to continue to move forward? Most of our folks come in the door and they don't have a drug or alcohol problem. They've got a cop problem or a judge problem or a DSS problem or a wife or a husband problem. And, you know, and then they find out they've got an alcohol or drug problem.
Are they shocked?
They're a little bit like, wait a minute. But, you know, now we look at evidence-based treatment. There's a lot of research that's gone into what really works. And also, you know, so now we're required to perform our services with an evidence-based program. Mm-hmm. So it's not just me walking in the room and saying, okay, I think we're going to do this today. It's about we have a program, something that we do that we know that works, that there's evidence of it, and we do it the way it's been done before. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot has gone into it because there's less and less treatment out there now.
There's less and less treatment out there. What do you mean?
Well, in the 80s, mm-hmm. you know, everybody was going to treatment. And you were going into inpatient treatment. You were getting the full-on 28 or 60 days inpatient, which is just almost unheard of now. And that was just real common. That's what you did.
Well, I think the Stars still do this, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, no, but that's when you're talking about that. I mean, that mm-hmm. we see the Stars going into rehab, right, for X amount of period of time.
Yes. Yes, we do.
But they can afford it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and part of this has been, you know, people, things get more expensive all the time. Health costs and health care costs go up all the time. Insurance, so forth.
Right.
So, you know, we've had to scramble and figure out how to do this in a way that people can get everything that they need, and even if they can't afford it.
I think it is amazing. I think that's a very interesting point, that we don't put more emphasis on recovery or mental health. It's still an issue that our country does not address. Mm-hmm. I know several psychiatrists that all they do is manage people rather than in the day where you tried to get to the bottom, to the root of the problem, so that they could be, I'll use the word, cured. And we don't do that anymore. We simply manage people, and they manage lots of people. And that's a problem for our country. I mean, we see it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess what you're saying is we're doing more with less, and we're using steps that hopefully will bring a person. But it takes, does it take longer than, Helen, for a person?
No, I don't think it takes longer. I think that, you know, unfortunately we have limited resources, so that a lot of times people aren't getting there until later. Once they get there, you know, I think the process takes about the same amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, now, like, I do an intensive outpatient program, which means that a person is in our office for 3 hours, three times a week. So they're in there 9 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
Right.
You know, especially if you're working and raising kids and all of that. You know, you're spending your time 9 hours of that week, and probably 12 if you look at travel and all that, coming into our office and doing your treatment. You know.
What type of a success do you have, Helen?
Well, you know, we talk about the thirds rule,
mm-hmm.
and I adjust that a little bit. Here are my beliefs about the thirds rule. The thirds rule, you know, I look at it, 30% of the folks who come in to treatment, they come in, they get their treatment, they do it one time, they go out, they stay in recovery forever, and they never come back. They're good.
Okay.
30% come in, and maybe it takes two or three times for them to get this, and maybe four times, you know. And then they've got it, they go out, they go to AA meetings or NA meetings and do what they need to do and don't come back.
Okay.
There's 30%.
There's another 30% she's getting ready to tell us about, folks.
There's 30% are going to come in and out, and maybe for a lifetime. And the goal with these folks is to make their periods of using shorter. in their periods of sobriety longer. And, you know, and as long as they keep coming back and they keep trying and keep working on it, mm-hmm. you know, then that's good. That's improved their life.
Sure.
Then I think there's the 10% who don't make it back and have, you know, a drug or alcohol-related incident that happens to them. It may not be written up that way. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they were had a six-pack and were cleaning the gutters and fell off a ladder and broke their neck. You know, that's not written up as an alcohol-related incident necessarily, but things like that happen all the time. You know, and there are folks who just don't make it back. And that's the sad part. You know, we want that population to make it in and make sure. it back.
You know, Tim, this when we come back, we're going to talk about not only the side of the patient, the person mm-hmm. in recovery, but we're also going to talk about how tough this is for a job to be in this job. So let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, and we're going to have a short segment here because we're coming right up on the news here. But, Tim, it has to be very difficult to hear other people's problems and try to help other people and see people at not really at their finest moments.
Yeah, it is tough. It's tough because you don't always see happy endings. And, you know, you do have outcomes that you wish would have turned out different. And it's also, you know, tough after a long day when you go home, you've listened all day and, you know, you try to be attentive to your family and want to mm-hmm. listen sure. to them too, but it's easy to find yourself zoning out or being inattentive to other people in your life when you listen for a living, I guess. When you listen to other people all day for a living, it's a little tough when you come home. And
so how do you deal with it?
Well, I try to be aware of it. You know, if my little boy comes home from school and he's telling me about a problem he had at school, you know, I have to, you know, make myself be aware and realize that, hey, his problem's important and, right. you know, I need to be there for him. And also, you know, you have to kind of have to take care of yourself and, you know, make sure you got some hobbies and things you can enjoy doing just to kind of refresh a little bit, because when you're hearing problems all day at work and you find yourself not wanting to listen to other people's problems when you get off work, whether it be your friends or your family or whatever, you can't just tell them, hey, I don't want to hear that, you know.
I'm off the clock. Right, yeah, but that's an issue. Yeah,
you still have to be there because, you know, you love those folks and you don't want to sell them short. So you kind of have to take care of yourself and do things for yourself to kind of refresh and recharge your batteries every so often and just kind of plug in there and be aware of, you know, when you are getting a little stressed out.
Sure. I imagine there's some days even that I'll bet you say, I'm not going back tomorrow. I've had enough. Have you ever had one of those days?
I've had those days where I wanted to call in sick. Those planned sick days, yeah.
Okay. All right. I tell you what, we're going to join the news. We'll be back and we'll pick this up. If you got a question, give us a call. 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. We're talking about Recovery Month. I wanted to talk a little bit about our counselors that are here from the standpoint of what they deal with, which in some cases, I would think, kind of mirrors what some of the families actually go through when trying to be helping and maybe not getting the response because people aren't realizing that they have a problem. And so we were talking about what you did to try to keep you, Tim, to keep your sanity, shall we say. And one of the things that Helen said, you should have said you told him about your running. Yeah,
I've been known to run here and there. I did a 5K over the weekend that the Faith Home put on for a fundraiser. So.
Yeah, how'd you do?
I did okay. I finished up right.
Okay. You made it all the way.
That was the main goal. So, and I did okay. I was pleased.
Yeah. You know, just to talk about that, one of the things, Helen, you were telling me what set Cornerstone apart is how they treat their employees, the counselors, the people that work there. What can you expand on that a little bit?
Well, when I first came to interview, one of the things that I was told was that, you know, it really does feel like a family around here. And we try to respect each other and hold each other up like family members. And I've been here, it'll be 4 years, November the 1st, and I find that that is absolutely the truth. If you're sick, they wish you well, they want you to get better, not... oh, well, are you sure you can't be here? It's not like that. It's like, please take care of yourself. You know, they respect that.
And I'll bet when it comes to having a tough day.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There are people around who are there to talk to you or just pat you on the back or just to let you know, when you're ready to let it out, here we are. And they've got that ear out for you. And they understand because they've been there.
Yeah, it has to be a tough, tough job, and y'all are to be commended, and Cornerstone is to be commended as far as a place that you can go. And we were also talking about how important it is for the client to feel safe.
Oh, yes, absolutely. South Carolina has started the Trauma-Informed Care Initiative in their behavioral health units, and that includes all mental health and alcohol and drug treatment centers. Basically, it's about how the client feels when they walk through our door. Is our environment comfortable to them? Do they feel safe? Do they feel like they have options and choices? Do they feel empowered? Are they walking out of there with tools that are going to help them in their everyday lives? Or do they just feel good while they're there? It's a good initiative because I think we did a training recently and we were told something like 51% of the population has experienced some extreme trauma. And we know that in our population that that's probably more like 75%.
Wow. Now, Tim, you were talking about the fact that, if somebody wants that door open, you're going to leave the door open. If you have a woman that's been abused and she is very, very frightened, that you'll leave that door open. The door doesn't have to be closed. Your objective is to make that client comfortable.
Right, because they're not going to share anything with you if they don't feel safe. That's first and foremost, because, if you want to get to the root of the problem and why the person is there, then it's pretty imperative that they feel safe sharing that with you. And if you do anything to set that trauma off or that person feels frightened or unsafe at all, they're probably not going to open up and share with you what they would have shared with you. And that can be, you can get a lot more on the first visit. Somebody's first time in the door, you can get a lot more if they feel safe rather than it taking 6 or 8 sessions to get something out of somebody. They tend to share when they're more comfortable and they're in a safe environment.
Absolutely. So now, does Cornerstone charge for its services?
Yes, we do.
Okay. And are there not some programs, though, if somebody is having some difficulty where they can get some help? Do they have some scholarship-type programs or something?
Actually, we're very fortunate right now. We have two different programs where we've received monies to help people. One of those programs pays for the assessment, which singly, that's the most expensive part, single thing that they do at our program. Then we have another program that pays for treatment. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, if someone doesn't have insurance, because we do, Medicaid does pay for services with us, but if they don't have the insurance or the funds to pay for that treatment, then these programs do. There are restrictions on that.
Sure.
Like if you're there due to DUI, it doesn't pay for that. So, you know, sorry about that.
Right.
But if it's any other reason, basically it covers it.
Now, what do we think, what in our area, right here in Greenwood, Abbeville area, what do we see as the biggest drug or alcohol? What's the biggest issue? Tim, what do you think coming from over there from Abbeville? What do you see?
I would say alcohol would probably be the single biggest. However, meth is running right up there too, and marijuana. I think with a lot of the states talking about legalizing marijuana, a lot of people kind of view it as not much more dangerous than cigarettes, which there's a lot
is
of.
Is it?
Yeah, it is, and there's a lot of information out there that I guess aren't necessarily publicized, because there is big money to be made in marijuana, and there's a lot of things you're probably not going to hear about marijuana and some of the side effects of marijuana because of that. So, yeah, marijuana is a lot more dangerous than maybe a lot of the news media is making it out to be. And it's a lot more potent than the, you know, marijuana that was around 20 years ago. Especially in regards to mental health. I was looking at some research that showed marijuana users are 600 times more likely to develop schizophrenia. There's a fact out there that not many people know. You know, you're not seeing that on the news, and when people talking about
what's happening in Colorado, folks.
Yeah. I think they hear that piece of information from everyone.
Well, it just makes you wonder. We got people that are very schizophrenic in Colorado. I mean, you know, wow.
Yeah, there may be some correlation.
Yeah,
we're going to be seeing those numbers probably in about 5 years.
Here in South Carolina?
Well, coming out of Colorado.
Coming out of Colorado.
You know, it's like right now, it's still fairly new. And probably 5 years, you know, we're going to start seeing more and more about the mental health issues that is being associated with it.
Well, it certainly is interesting. It was particularly interesting when they had a tax-free day the other day for marijuana purchases out there in Colorado. I'm like, yeah. Wow, because they had made too much money. The state government had made too much money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. But we're here in South Carolina, folks, where marijuana is still, I believe, against the law. What about over here in Greenwood? What do you see as far as abuse? Do we have the same things as what Tim's talking about in the Abbeville area, or is it any different?
It's pretty much the same. Alcohol, marijuana, methamphetamine. Of course, there's also opiates are a big problem, and it seems like that's getting bigger, as not just here but everywhere. We're seeing more and more deaths associated to pain pills and heroin, those types of things. Those are opiates, and you know, that's become a focus of attention to try to help those folks not die, basically, because there are a lot of overdoses with that. But primarily here, it's alcohol and then a lot of methamphetamine.
And Helen brought up the pills. Those are really big amongst a lot of the adolescents and teenagers now, whereas back in my day, it was more alcohol and marijuana and that kind of thing. But you're seeing a lot more pill abuse.
It's really scary that people just take and mix all these pills together. I mean, isn't that what some of these young people are doing, just taking all these pills and just seeing what happens here?
Absolutely.
Now, you go. Do you still go into the schools and do intervention-type programs?
We don't still have our school intervention program. I'm not actually going into the schools right now, but if schools contact us and we have the available resources, we will send somebody out to the school. Of course, we are working to get more prevention in the schools now, and we have several type of prevention programs set up to go out there and work on that end. So.
When I had Teresa and Lori on, we talked about just how much different it is with seatbelt usage today versus when we first started, and how prevention has made a difference. So it would seem if the dollars were available and the willingness to have y'all in the schools, it certainly could make a big difference.
Absolutely. There's actually a good curriculum that we do for our DUI offenders that I would like to see get into the schools, because if a lot of this information got into their hands at a younger age and they had more facts about alcohol and drug use, I think maybe you'd see some better decisions.
Absolutely. Well, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be back. We are talking with Helen Yount and Tim Still. They are with Cornerstone. They are counselors. If you got a question, pick up that phone and give us a call. We'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Lay away. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know lay away every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. We're talking with Cornerstone today. And of course, it is Recovery Month. And to celebrate recovery, if you know somebody that has struggled but is putting their pieces of their life back together, kudos to them. And, you know, I think in Teresa's article, the op-ed she had in the paper, I thought this part was very interesting. And this is just near the end. It says, have you ever made choices you regret? Have your words or actions ever hurt someone you love? Do you mourn times you simply existed because change and the work involved was too overwhelming to contemplate? And it says, if you answered yes to even one of these, then celebrate those who have shown great courage, faced their fears, acknowledged their mistakes, and moved forward into an unknown world toward recovery. And I think that is so true. When we were just talking off the air about families and what you can do for families, and you said in the intensive you have a program that invites family members, and Helen, you were even saying that you will work with families to help, because it is very difficult for family members that don't understand what is going on with that person that suffers from the addiction.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, if you've got a family member who walks in and they're seeing this person doing the same things over and over again and wondering why, they know there's going to be a problem. Why would they do this? Why would they hurt us this way? Why is this happening? And they get frustrated and, like Tim said, sometimes angry, often angry. But just a little bit of education about the disease process and what's happening in this person's brain goes a very long way. And then to let them know that there's help out there for them to get through this as well, with Al-Anon, it's like Alcoholics Anonymous, but for family. You know, and we have that available here in Greenwood. So that, you know, this disease, one of my clients today said it's a ripple out effect. I do something and it ripples out to everybody I know and affects them. And she was exactly right.
It does. It does. Mm-hmm. And the other thing we were discussing is how it's an inherited thing. The having that, I guess we could call it the addiction gene, right?
Well, I don't know about the gene, but yeah, there's most studies show that if you have a parent or grandparent with alcoholism or an addiction, that child is four times more likely to become addicted. And like Helen said, education is a key component there, because these kids need to know that once they grow up that, hey, I am more likely to have an addiction. So if they know that going in and they know that before they ever get started, then it can be avoided.
Sure. So we need to be able to spend more time with kids, I think. Mm-hmm. Don't you think, Helen? We need more time spent with kids. We need programs to help kids understand this. And you do have information, pamphlets, and whatnot available, too, don't you, over there at Cornerstone?
Yes, we do. We have lots of information available, and we're always happy to talk to people. We often talk to people who call in and just want information. And also on our website, cornerstonecares.org, there are links to different pamphlets and so forth online that give out all this information. It's very, very accessible.
So if you'd like to have those conversations, which you should with your kids, please do that. And cornerstonecares.org, I believe it is where you want to go to find out more information. Now, Cornerstone is where?
We are at 1612 Rivers Street, which is off of Boudreaux Road, which runs behind Walmart, and across from the Jumpin' Jacks.
There you go. Everybody will know that one right there.
Well, that's in Greenwood.
Yeah, right. And how about in Abbeville?
In Abbeville, we're a little bit off the beaten path. We're on 112 Whitehall Street, which is two blocks west from the square. If you turn right there at the just past the Hardee's, the little underpass, take a right, it's on that road.
That's right. And, you know, the other thing I wanted to mention, there are lots of places. You don't have to come to Cornerstone. There are lots of places that work with people, from AA to Faith Home, some of the churches, and you can get help. And I think that it's not a hopeless situation, but you do have to make that first step.
Yes, absolutely. And it could just be a phone call. The first thing is a phone call. You know, just saying, what do I do? And it goes from there. It amazes me today that people really don't understand that there is help available to them. You know, as much as it's in the media now, you would think that everybody would know, but people still don't know sometimes.
That's right. And there's even some church-based programs that are out there, Northside Baptist Church over there at the Alcoves. There's even Alateen at Connie Max Church, right? So there's all kinds of places to find some help. And one needs to go to a program that makes them feel comfortable.
Yes, that's important.
Not everybody would like to be in a group. And I guess now when you set up your groups, just real quick, Tim, how are your groups put together? I mean, when you have groups, I mean, do you have all men, all women, co-ed?
Well, in the larger counties like Greenwood, they may do all women groups, but mostly in Abbeville, we have three or four different types of groups, and they are mostly co-ed. However, at any given point in time, we may have all men in there or all women in there. It just depends. And there's the intensive outpatient group, which is three times a week, 3 hours a day. Those are for, I guess, more intensive problems. Then the other groups are usually 1 hour a week, except for there's another curriculum-based thing we do that is a two-hour-a-week group. So a lot of it depends on when somebody comes in, we assess them, do an evaluation on them, and we place them in the group we feel like they would fit the best in.
That's right. So I know that we've talked about everybody getting some help and everything, but I think the thing that we should also concentrate on is there have been a lot of success, whether it's Cornerstone, AA or any of these programs if one, I think, has to have that willingness, that first step to make that program. Would you say that's true, Helen?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's easy to focus on the problems. And then we have all these folks in the community and in our state and in our nation that are out there quietly recovering and going about living their lives and being good family members and good co-workers and employees and community members and people you may never know about, but because they've got their lives back and they're living recovery.
And that's, I think that is so important to remember. There are people that you won't even know that have maybe at one time in their life suffered with an issue, and now they have it under control, and they are able to live every day. And that's why we should celebrate recovery, and that's what celebrating recovery in September is all about. It's a journey, but it's one that one can conquer if you say, I guess, vigilant, and follow the steps that are put out there. You know, I really appreciate y'all coming out here today. You are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. We've been here with Helen Yance and Tim Steele. They work at Cornerstone. And what's just a general number for Cornerstone? We haven't even given out a number if somebody wanted to pick up the phone and call.
In Greenwood, that's 864-227-1001.
Okay. And in Abbeville, it's 864-366-9661.
There you go. And I tell you what, you two are to be celebrated for putting yourselves out there to help people that need the help. And I know it's not an easy job, but we sure appreciate the fact that you do this day in and day out. And thank you so much for coming out here today.
I appreciate you having us in and shedding some light on recovery.
That's right. So this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Check out Cornerstone, cornerstonecares.org, I do believe it is. Check that out. If you want to do it on the web in secret, you sure can. If you want to pick up the phone and give them a call, if you want to walk through those doors and just talk to them, you know what? You can always walk right back out, can't you, Helen?
Absolutely. We're not going to hold you there.
All right. That's going to do it for us. This is WCRS. Right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.